Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today's story starts far from the running world. This runner grew up a theater kid who never felt athletic and didn't enjoy movement until her early 30s. During the pandemic, she found Peloton and one of the Broadway-themed rides changed everything. It gave her a way to move that actually felt fun and led her to Peloton's outdoor running program with no pressure on pace or performance. She signed up for the JP Morgan Corporate Challenge, started sharing her progress online, and was surprised by how many people connected with seeing a newer runner working towards approachable goals. That momentum carried her into her first half marathon and eventually into a Chicago-based training group that supported her pace and showed her the structure she'd been missing. Over the next 2.5 years, she built strength, confidence, and community, which led to becoming a Chicago Distance Series ambassador and signing up for her first marathon in her home city. Today, she shares what it looks like to build a marathoner slowly, the mindset shifts that kept running fun, and why she believes anybody at any pace can go the distance. Without further ado, let's jump into the episode. Please welcome Arielle. Arielle, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm so excited that we finally got a chance to meet. I was just telling you, but I was hoping to run into you in Chicago. I did not get a chance to connect with you there, but I'm thankful that you came on the show today. Thanks for coming on.
And I am so glad to be here. I've been following the podcast and I am just so excited to finally have my first marathon to be talking about.
I'm so excited to hear for it. Cool. All right. Well, we always start from the beginning on this show. So how did movement start for you? How do we end up in this world?
Oh, man. Well, the thing is, I growing up was not an athlete by any means. I mean, I was the kid that was tripping over my shoelaces and breaking my arm. Yeah. Just hated sports, PE, athletics. That was just not my jam. I was a musical theater kid. Yeah. Really did not grow up with movement. And throughout, honestly, like, high school, college years, I was like erratically like running a 5K and like being out of breath after a couple of minutes. That was just not the way that I found enjoyment. And quite frankly, not until my early 30s did I actually find movement that sparked joy. And that actually started during the pandemic. I found out about Peloton and heard that they had Broadway Peloton classes. And I was like, man, like,
oh, that sounds fun.
With theater, that's exactly where I need to be. So,
yeah.
Got my Peloton and it was right before pandemic hit. And then pandemic hit and I was like, all right, well, I'm all in on this thing. So let's just do that. And I just started doing classes and it actually sparked joy. And I was like, okay, if this is sparking joy and I'm moving and feeling good about myself, let me just go ahead and lean into this a little bit fuller. And that turned into, okay, what other types of movement through Peloton can I explore? Mm-hmm. And they had a You Can Run Outdoors program on the mobile app. And I'm like, okay, maybe this whole running thing, and quite frankly, I've been surrounded by running culture for a while because my husband's actually a marathoner. So
gotcha.
He's been like supporting and looking from afar. And he's always been like, your personality is so well suited for running. And I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, it just does not sound like my jam. And then I found this class and I was like, okay, the JP Morgan Corporate Challenge was a couple months away. Let me try this program, work towards that race as a goal and just see where it goes. And the biggest shift in my mindset was not having any pressure to meet a certain pace or a certain time or a certain goal, quite frankly, other than just move for movement's sake. And that completely flipped my mentality on running. So the whole program was focused on being able to run 30 minutes continuously without. So it was like pretty manageable goal. There wasn't like a 5K race. I just happened to add that to the mix. And I actually found it to be approachable. And it was because no one else was telling me what to do. I was just doing it at my own rhythm and just trying to figure out how my body was going to respond to it. So once I did that race and I actually was really excited, felt really accomplished. And I was like, okay, what's the next benchmark I could put for myself? So I was like, it feels like a wild and crazy goal, but let me do a do-it-yourself method for training for my first half marathon. And the whole focus for me was just continue extending the distances until I absolutely hate myself and say, you know what? That's it. And I'm just done. And it's fine.
Yeah.
But when I started doing that half marathon journey and training, I actually started documenting on social media. And I was using that as a form of accountability for myself.
Because
I was like, okay, let me just post about this because then I could see what progress I'm making for myself. And it was at mile 7 that I posted a video. And this was not when I like refined my whole style or anything like that, but I was doing like the selfie mode really close to my face.
Yeah.
I'm sweating. I'm huffing. I had a big pimple on my face that day. Like I because I just wanted to make sure I did it for myself.
Sure.
That video kind of blew up online and I was like, oh, other people actually want to see normal people who are just trying to do the thing to better themselves and feel like they can do it too. And I was like, oh, maybe there's something here. Let me just keep documenting this and just see where it goes. And that was motivation for me to keep going too. Cause I was like, A, conquering distances that I've never done before was super cool and amazing, but being able to help other people feel seen, especially when my paces were between at that time, 16 minutes to 18 minutes per mile. And I didn't see other people online posting those paces. They were usually, oh, I'm slow running and I'm doing a sub 10 minute pace. And I'm like, that's not me. And I know there's a lot of other people out there who don't feel like they can see themselves either. So let me marry this idea of like documentation with just bettering myself and see where this goes. And when I did that first half marathon, it was in Milwaukee. It was the Milwaukee Lakefront Half Marathon. And throughout that race, people started recognizing me on the course. And I was like, I don't even know anyone here. Like, this is crazy. And it was just so cool to be in another state that I've never ran in before, running this race with zero expectations. I was absolutely terrified of this race because there's the Hone Bridge. And I knew in my mind I had to make it to the bridge by a certain time so I wouldn't be kicked off the course.
Once I hit
the bridge, it was like home game. And I'm like, okay, what can I do to make sure I keep myself calm and just find, again, the origination of my goal, which is movement for movement's sake and still enjoying it. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I just need to go into this without the expectation that I have to meet a time and just focus on finish and have fun. And that's been my mantra throughout my entire running journey is just go with the goal that you will finish. Because I think if you flip that mindset from I'm going to try to I'm just going to do this, typically it wins out because then you're just able to keep yourself grounded. But having fun. I mean, I think people make this sport so complicated and so intimidating and we see all the elites and they are wonderful. And I love watching the elites, but I also love watching people like me who are doing something absolutely extraordinary, whether it's a 5K, a half marathon, a marathon, going out there and running and conquering these distances while having family, a social life, a 9-to-5, like it's incredible. Yeah. It's another part-time job every time. And
totally.
People don't give ourselves enough credit for how long it takes to actually do the dang thing. And everyone looks at the end part, but we don't really appreciate the amount of time it takes to train and actually be able to build the foundation to do the ultimate feat.
Yes.
So all that to say is my running journey has not been linear by any means.
Yeah.
And I started with baseline zero fitness and turned from baseline zero fitness into let me just build endurance, build a base. And that was a combination of the do-it-yourself method. And then after that first half marathon, I found Chicago Endurance Sports, which was through Fleet Feet. Fleet Feet Sports has a chapter in Chicago. And I found a chapter in my neighborhood where I found a training group that actually had paces that were over 13 minutes per mile.
So important. Yeah.
Which was huge. And I was like, oh, I have a community of other people who are running just like me because they just want to move, not because they're trying to beat a world record here. And it just created so much more meaning for me. And marrying the training group with a structured training where I actually found run walk intervals and structured interval training, which I never did before. I was like, oh, you mean I don't have to keep running until I'm out of breath and then just start walking?
Right. There's like a method to this. Yeah.
I had no idea. And so when I did the program, the training program, and at the time it was spring training because I was training for my second half marathon, which was the Bank of America Chicago 13.1.
Oh, cool.
So I was training for that half marathon. And then at the same time, I also found strength training and I actually went to a local gym and started training with a trainer. So marrying those two elements together, having the community, having the actual building of muscle that, quite frankly, I went in day one of my strength training and he goes, your core is weak, your knees are weak, your ankles are weak. And I go, so you're telling me I'm just like a blob. And he's like, he's not saying that, but he's saying that like there's a lot of growth that you could have and you'll probably see a lot of results by starting to consistently strength train and building those muscles so that you can have a strong core, a strong like legs and being able to actually use that to help propel you in your running. So It's just, I don't think there's one thing. And everyone is always linchpinning on like this one thing I'm going to do and it's going to change my life. And it's like, right. No, there's a lot of little elements that you have to build together in order to make that picture of what you want for your reality. And it's hard and it takes so much time, it's dedication and determination. But once you kind of find that sweet spot of the different elements that you put together in the puzzle pieces, it's pretty amazing. And I've just fallen head over heels for it. And it has been so cool just where my running journey has taken me now.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And I think how transparent you've been able to be online has definitely shown through. And I think reached a lot of people who, like you said, like see themselves in you, which is, I'm sure, a positive in your life, but I'm sure that's also maybe added some pressure to your running journey. I would imagine how have you been able to adapt to sort of like being a role model for people, so to speak?
Well, yeah, it's really a weird and wonderful chapter of my life. That's the best way I can describe it. And quite honestly, when I think about pressure, there's a lot of pressure, whether it's our personal life, our professional life, this side hustle that I'm doing. And I think that as long as I keep to my core mission of bettering myself every day, finding the fun in the run, then everything else kind of melts away. And I have to just be focused on that singular mission. And if other people benefit from what I'm documenting and how I'm approaching fitness and wellness, then that's awesome. But I want to make sure anytime I'm doing these things, I'm doing it for myself. And I think that the residual benefit of other people gaining inspiration and moving forward in their own journeys and sharing that with me is so dang cool. I love it when people DM me their stories and being like, you know, I saw your half marathon and it inspired me to run my first half marathon. Or I've seen you training for your first full marathon and it is just making me believe that I can do it too.
Yeah.
And that has been it's so heartwarming because I didn't go into all of this being like, I want to inspire the next generation of runners.
Sure.
I just want to make myself move and feel better and be healthy and find enjoyment in this sport.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's awesome. So I guess when you're thinking about your first few half marathons, so like 1, 2, 3, I know you've ran 4 of them total. What were some of the challenges that you were running into as somebody that was kind of starting from like really no running background into I'm all of a sudden running like multiple half marathons? What were some of those challenge points you remember?
Yeah, I mean, the first one, because I was doing it by myself, the challenge was just understanding what can my body do? How do I test my limits? But also, how do I respect the distance and ensure that I'm doing it in a way that's going to be safe and approachable? And it really came down to slowing down. And I think that most people take it for granted when they're like, oh, I'm slowing down. And it's like, no, it's actually, it creates your ability to run further if you take it down a pace. And I think for me, it just took so long. And so when I was training, I mean, it was a good chunk of my Saturday morning every weekend just to make sure I could get those distances done. And the consistency was the biggest factor in there and making sure that I carved out time for myself. And that obviously took away from other elements of life, but I gained so much fulfillment by investing that time and energy and being able to do it. And I would say that throughout all of my half marathons and my marathon training, that investing and prioritizing the time for training is the biggest obstacle. If you do that and you stay consistent, you can do anything. And I think that a lot of people disrespect the distance and just try to like run as fast as they can to get it done. And I think that's how it leads to injuries and just burnout and not being able to complete what they go out for.
Totally.
I mean, again, we all go through the burnout. I think that's inevitable. I mean, we're training for lots of days and miles and hours, and the life part of it does get in the way. And you're like, oh, well, I am losing out on going to X, Y, or Z or traveling to these places and things like that, because you really want to focus on maintaining that consistent routine in the environment in which you're comfortable.
Yeah.
But I think that by taking the time to invest in consistency, the payoff is it just goes out in dividends.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, I 100% agree. And how did this training group that you were able to find, I think that's super unique that you were able to find them so early on in your journey and kind of like stick with them, because you trained for your marathon with them too, right? It was the same group. Yeah, that's so cool that you were able to find them so early. How has training with a group and having some like structured training with people, how has that impacted your journey?
So going from solo running to group running was a really scary jump into the ether, because I essentially trained by myself for like 8 months before I decided to run with other people. And it was quite frankly out of the fear of being left behind. So what I did is I did one of their like one-off group runs before doing the full training program. And it just blew my mind how inclusive they were. And quite frankly, I think I got lucky. And I recognize that there's definitely people who go to run groups and they don't have a positive experience.
Yeah.
I don't want to say like my story is like everyone's going to have this experience. But what I would say is that I went into it saying, you know what, it was a local run club. If they do leave me behind, or if it just doesn't work out, or if I'm not feeling comfortable, I could just walk home. And that's
sure.
So what I would say for other people who are looking to like dip their toes into group running, do your research, look at the places and people and social channels and seeing what types of paces you're kind of like looking at. And a lot of times the run club leaders will usually be pretty darn responsive in letting you know like what paces are supported.
Totally.
But also another way of looking at it too is some run groups will do like you start together and you finish together and it's time-based, and that kind of alleviates the pressure of like I'm being left behind, because even if there isn't necessarily someone running at your pace, everyone is running to and from the same place.
Right.
So that can also be another way of approaching it too. But with the Chicago Endurance Sports, a girl actually DM'd me and she's like, hey, I saw that you signed up for this half marathon. Did you know there's a training group? And I'm like, no, I didn't. Tell me more. And she's like, yeah, like these are the paces and this is how we approach it. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up. And she's like, well, you might as well try it and see where it goes. And I was like, you know what? At this point, it's in my neighborhood. Let me just run for it and see how it goes. And I just found a really lovely community through it. And I think that the approach I took every week was, I'm running with other people. I'm going to learn best practices and tips from them that I would not have gotten on my own. I think that this is just going to allow me to grow as a runner and take that next step in that next challenge. And that was just so inspiring for me. And I met so many runners of all ages, of all paces, and just being able to hear their stories allowed me the opportunity to gain wisdom from them and also be motivated to know that if I was starting this in my 60s versus my 30s, like people do that and they're able to accomplish such incredible things if they allow themselves to be vulnerable and put themselves in uncomfortable situations. It's the finding comfort in the uncomfortable. And I think that a lot of us can always grow from taking on challenges that feel bigger than ourselves. But I also did that in a way that was manageable for my own mental sanity and my physical schedule.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I think sometimes people are so eager to just jump into the longest distance. I'm going to go run a full marathon. And it's like, you know what? You don't have to jump to that largest monumental feat. You can start small. You could start with a 5K. You could start with a 10K. And that's what I did during my like do-it-yourself method. I was like, let me just do like small chunks and see how I can build up to the half marathon.
Yeah.
When I started into the second half, people are going to sign up for summer full marathon training. I'm like, no, I want to be able to just master the art of a half marathon and feel comfortable doing those distances consistently before I take on the next challenge of signing up for a full. So this journey to a full marathon has taken 2.5 years for me. Some people just into that in months, and I give them credit, I guess. Yeah. But I think we've normalized this feat of running a marathon. And I really do want people to understand that running back to back multiple marathons is not normal behavior. It's not. And I think that there are some athletes who train and condition, and that's their full time job. And I give them all the credit in the world. But for people who are just starting out or have other commitments, they don't have to do that. And I think that social media has really normalized this sport. And it's a good thing because it's allowed people to open the doors and be able to like dip their toes into running and finding the enjoyment and wearing the cool outfits and documenting and doing the races and all that good stuff. But it's also created this really immense pressure that we don't need to feel. It takes the fun out of it. And that's the whole
point.
Like, we're not podiuming and we're not going to be breaking these world records, like for people who are just average people, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think that the more we talk about it and saying you should be having fun in this, I'm hoping it'll help more people realize that they can do it too.
Quick break from today's episode to share that the My First Marathon merch is officially live. Whether you're headed out for a cold run or just living in comfy clothes between workouts, shop the MFM hoodie and beanie to add a few new comfy pieces to your closet. You can shop everything at myfirstmarathon.co, click on shop, and use code MFM10 for 10% off your first order as a special thanks to all of our listeners. That's myfirstmarathon.co, click on shop, and use code MFM10 for 10% off your first order. All right, let's jump back to the episode.
Totally. Yeah. Especially in the beginning, you know, it
takes the fun out of it. First marathon is something that it's going to be special. It's going to be something that you look back on and remember forever. So why not, you know, be patient and make the experience worth it? I think that's huge for sure.
Absolutely.
I guess for you, so over your half marathons, when did you hit the point where you were like, all right, I'm ready to take on the full?
So I was toying around with the idea of running a full at the end of last year. So we're in 2025. So the end of 2024, I was like, all right, Let me put my name in for the Chicago Marathon lottery and see what happens. I didn't get it, but I did have Chicago Marathon reach out and they were like, hey, we've been following your journey. We know that you're looking into doing this. Would you be open to being a Chicago Distance Series ambassador? And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, well, you have this community. We know that you're doing this. We'd be really excited to support you and work alongside you for the journey. And I was like, well, when you have the Bank of America Chicago Marathon knocking on your door,
you don't say no.
Incredible. It just shows you that something that feels so silly, like documenting your running journey online, can turn into crazy cool opportunities like this. And I was like, I am going to relish in this moment and be able to create more opportunities for other people to see that someone who may look like me and running at a slower pace can also go the distance too. And so I seized that opportunity right away and started talking about how do we build gradually into a full marathon? And obviously that was with three half marathons under my belt. And so it started with the Shamrock Shuffle 8K, turned into the Chicago 13.1. That was the second time I was in that race.
Yeah.
A marathon. So being able to say, hey, those of you who are in Chicago, you actually have this beautiful thing where if you run these three iconic races, you get a medal that's super dang cool. And then also you get guaranteed entry into the following year for Chicago Marathon.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't know about that. And so
I had no idea.
Yeah. So it's really cool to be able to raise awareness for a program that's still relatively new. I believe that next year will be the fourth year that it's going on. But also just being able to raise the profile of people who are running slower than the average person, but being able to do it in a way that benefits them and being able to have fun while doing it.
Totally. I love that. That's awesome. And that's an incredible opportunity. I agree with you that you couldn't say no to something like that. That's huge. So your marathon was already spelled out for you at that point. You were running the Chicago Marathon. I guess, what were the things that you were looking into about, like, okay, now I need to go look up the course, or now I need to figure out like the plan I'm going to follow. Am I going to do with my group? Like, what was step one for you after you found out, all right, I'm running this thing?
So step one was signing up for summer training with Fleet Feet and Chicago Endurance Sports. I heard about the summer training program. I knew that it was something that was going to allow me to have the structure I needed to gradually build that distance, but also do it in a way that I have guidance every step of the way and being able to feel supported by the community that I already cultivated with my training group. Some of the people who I ran with from winter to spring were also there for the summer. I had some friends who were pacers that ended up staying on during summer, because we just grew such a great little community within ourselves that they're like, we just want to be able to support you throughout this journey. And I was like, this is so insanely cool. So I actually trained consistently starting in October of 24 through October of 25. So I did Winter Warriors, spring training, then summer training to get to the marathon. So I was building my mileage throughout a full year. It's not like I just did the 19 weeks and that's all it was. I was making sure that I was keeping my running routine lock solid alongside my strength training and really just keeping that overall routine consistent and just making sure that my body was responding to it in a way that I felt comfortable.
Cool. I love that. And the training group, I guess, for people that like, aren't familiar with a run, like training with a training group, do they give you the plan, like the full plan to follow? I know you probably run with them on the weekends, I would think, for your long runs, but like what sort of plan did they provide you through that?
Oh, great question. So the way that the Fleet Feet Chicago Endurance Sports training program works is that when you sign up, you do a full intake form telling them everything about your current running history, your running routine, your current pace, et cetera. And then they populate a mobile app, Final Surge, and it has a calendar in there where they actually give you recommended workouts based on the pace that you're hoping to achieve within the race. And cool. So the schedule is populated. There were two in-person training group workouts on Tuesday for speed workout and strength. Saturday for the long run. And so I knew that there were two runs physically I was going to see people and be able to stay engaged. And then the rest of it is programmed into the app. So that way on Monday and Thursday, those were my easy runs. Tuesday was my speed workout day. Friday and Wednesday were cross training days. And then Sunday was my rest day, and always long run Saturday. Long run Saturday became a ritual for me throughout all of my training, and that's sacred. So long run Eve was always like, okay, I'm going to make sure I have my electrolytes, make sure I carb load, make sure I go to sleep early. And it just became such a habit. And so that was the thing, is building the habit allows you to just stay in that routine and that mode and just being able to go.
Yeah. To a point where when you get to taper, you feel very weird because you're like, your routine is like all thrown off. How was the taper experience for you?
Crazies are real. They're so real. And for me, I actually had a horrible, horrible experience because I didn't realize it at the time, but I did my 20 miler day and it was awful. I had a horrible 20 miler day. I was just a hot mess. And I was like, how the heck am I going to do a marathon after this horrible 20 miler day? I ended up doing like 18 and a half miles instead of 20. And again, I was like, I DNF'd it. And other people are like, you're DNFing. You did 18 and a half miles. I'm like, it just felt terrible. And I found out I was sick. And so I was sick the week after that. And I'm like, well, that certainly accounted
that
for
makes
why
sense.
A horrible day. And it was hot. Right. Oh, gosh. This summer was so dang hot and humid. And everyone's like, it's really bad. I'm like, I just thought it was really bad because it was my first training for my first marathon.
Sure.
Oh no, this is just an unusually hot and humid summer. So I was like, okay, well, I guess that makes me feel better. But also, of course, it would be the worst summer for training conditions when I'm training for my first. But it really taught me to be patient, be humble, and just ride the tidal wave. I mean, you just don't know what things are going to be thrown at you every day. And obviously that's how it is on race day too. You don't know what the conditions are going to be like. So you have to lean into the different extremes that happen. And when I finally got to taper, people are so funny. They're like, you're going to be itching to run. I'm like, no, I'm so happy to be
good.
Laying down and not waking up super freaking early and just like giving your body time to recover. I love recovery. I don't know why people don't like recovery. Recovery is
Right. Yeah. I always joke that like this is episode probably, I don't know, like 112 of the stories or whatever on the show. It's like everybody fits into two camps for taper. People that absolutely love it, don't even bother me with a run. Like I'm doing fine. And then the people that are like, I'm going absolutely insane and I hate this. It's like, there's never a middle ground for taper. People love it or they hate it. But mine's changed over time. I used to hate it. Like for my, I don't know why, but I think I was in such a routine for my first marathon that I like when I got to taper, I was like, what do I do with all this time? Like, I'm so antsy. But as I've ran a few more races and a few more years, I'm like, okay, like I actually really like this break. Yeah, it's so nice. Very cool. So I guess fast forwarding a little bit to when we're leading up to race day. So you ran your 18 mile run, didn't go exactly to how you planned, but you got some miles in, the majority of the miles in for that run. I guess, what was your confidence level going into the couple of weeks leading up to your marathon?
Yeah. So the back half of my marathon training block was tough. And I just will not deny that. It was just mentally challenging, physically challenging. I had runs where I just did not feel good. Like they felt like lead. And I was like, why am I doing this? And everyone just kept reassuring me around me that you may feel this way now, but when race day energy hits, it changes the whole game for you. So just trust in the training and the rest will follow. So It was a lot of mental work, actually. In addition to the physical training, the mental work was huge. And I think by having some of those like awful runs later in my training block actually mentally prepared me for race day, because I knew going into it, I was going to be going into unknown territory. And so being able to go into the mindset of expect the unexpected, but you can do this and you are okay. And I think that was actually the mantra that hit the most for me during race day was, I'm okay. And I think that being able to say that and trusting my body to keep moving forward helped my mentality being able to persevere. And so while the second half of that training block heading into race day was horrible, I think it was the best gift I could have gotten, because it allowed me to really build these mental walls and being able to say, you know, one moment isn't going to define your whole journey, and just being able to show up the next day. That's the hardest part. People don't realize that showing up consistently for yourself and being your best advocate is one of the toughest parts of being able to make it to race day and having a good race day.
Totally. Yeah, 100% agree. Well, cool. So yeah, so I guess we're getting close to race day now, telling the story. I know you're in Chicago, so didn't have to travel in for this marathon or anything like that. But what did the week leading up, did you have like things that you were doing, like carb loading, planning fuel? What was the week leading up like?
So my husband and I both ran the marathon that day.
Oh,
so
cool.
We had so many carbs all throughout the house. It was a lot of carb loading. It was a lot of just coordinating family and friends coming into town. It was wrapping up work, because we actually had on vacation right after the marathon, which honestly, for anyone who's thinking about it, take off a couple of days after your marathon. Your body will thank you, because diving right back into work just sounded like the worst thing in the world.
I
just
totally agree. Yeah.
Enjoy the people who were in town. And that was the other thing too that was tricky, is you have all these people who want to help support, which is amazing. And I'm so grateful for it. But also I knew that I had to keep my routine leading up to race day. So I wasn't going to be able to like go out to these fancy dinners. Like I wanted to keep my eating routine simple so that I wouldn't mess up my gut heading into race day. So I was like, all right, I want to make sure I have a couple of days after the race to be able to enjoy the company that came to support me and be able to do it in a way that I could actually really keep this being memorable. So race week was really about just keeping consistent, keeping things simple, carb loading, maintaining my nerves, and then wrapping up the responsibilities I had before, just being able to turn my brain off and be able to focus on race day.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. And I agree. It's tricky when you have like friends and family and you're trying to balance all of those things. I know like my family, my parents flew in. My mom ran Chicago as well. So she flew in with my dad. And yeah, just like trying to coordinate those little nights before where you're like, I would love to spend some time with you, but it's 7:30 and I got to get to bed. It's tricky. Yeah, it's tricky.
You know what? I actually treated it kind of like a mini wedding where we had like friends and family coming from out of town. I needed to get all their contact information together so that they all could talk to each other. Gave them recommendations of places that they could spectate, made my house like home base, because we were actually right by the race course. So I'm like, okay,
cool.
I can, like, at a minimum, be able to go out to mile 25 and a half, be able to see me and then just go back home, and that's fine. So I knew at race day that there was one moment that I had to make it to, which was mile 25 and a half. And I had friends and family there. And that was honestly one of the biggest motivators on the race day, where I'm like, okay,
yeah,
I have to keep going, even if I have to crawl, because I know there are people there. And that by that point, I was like, okay, you have to finish. Like, you're almost.
You're way too close. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very cool. So yeah, so you had some friends and family waiting for you, which is great. But yeah, let's talk about race day. So race morning, we're up. What was the race morning like like getting to the start line and everything?
Yeah. So race morning was up super freaking early, had everything laid out already. The house was super quiet. And it was just a matter of, again, maintaining the routine I've done since day one. It was making my peanut butter and banana toast. It was making sure that I was doing my dynamic warm-ups-ish, definitely ish. I should have been doing more, but just really getting myself mentally ready for what this big feat was today. And I think that it was a matter of keeping silence, but doing it in a way that was allowing me to calm the noise, because I knew once I went out on that race course, the energy was just going to like really get me. So it was just keeping calm, keeping consistent, keeping my routine that I did. I actually met up with a friend and we had a beautiful thing with Chicago Endurance Sports. They actually have what they call a race day resort. So it's kind of like a hospitality area.
Cool.
Yeah. And so I was able to go over there, drop my stuff off in like a private area. We had like a little bit of breakfast there. And we were able to just like walk across the street into the starting corral. So
very cool.
I knew the timing that I needed to be able to like get over there, get my stuff done, and then get over into the race course. And so I had like my throwaway clothes on, sweatshirt and sweatpants, which was nice and cozy. But I was still a little bit nervous though, because it was warmer than we were expecting for that
day. It was. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the other thing where I'm like, okay, I've ran in hotter temperatures. I ran in more humidity. So if you did it then, you can do it now. So again, lots of reminders and just finding ways of calming myself down, because I think that once you allow yourself to fall into that pit of like despair or concern or anxiety, it's very hard to get yourself out. So totally. It was a lot of just like calming mechanisms to make sure that I was doing okay. And having people around definitely helped. But doing it in contained matter. Like, I don't know if that really fully makes sense.
Yeah.
Trying to find ways of keeping things routine was like a really big thing for me, so I can calm my nerves.
Totally. Yeah. And then you get to the start line, and I was in wave three. I imagine that you were in wave three as well. And you're out there for a really long time. So you kind of can stifle the nerves. I was helping my mom out for her first marathon, and I could tell she's like, antsy. And then you sit for a long time and it would kind of like decompress for a little bit. And then you get antsy again and then it like sits. So did you have like a similar experience the morning of?
Yeah. And every time you're like, okay, I think we're going to go now. It's like, Oh, still waiting. Oh. It's like, okay, cool. Yeah. And I was so used to running super freaking early. I mean, Chicago's earlier than most other major marathons, but it still was later than I was used to. Because when we were running throughout the summer, we started our runs at 6:15 in the morning. So to start at like 9:30 felt like forever to go. And so it was also a matter of making sure that you shifted how you were fueling, how you were hydrating, so that you wouldn't have any issues heading into the race that was later. So that was another point that was challenging. But yeah, I mean, the waiting game is just brutal. But once you're out there, it's a whole different ball game.
Yes, it was so fun. The start was so fun. It was so much build up, but then once you started, they started with a bang. They had a really fun first mile. But yeah, let's start to break down the race. I usually say let's maybe start with the first half, since usually that's like the charted race territory for most people. Yep. So what was the first 13.2 or 13.1 like for you?
Oh man, first 13.1. So first mile was trying to go slower, but of course I was still going way too dang fast. And of course, as everyone tells you, your GPS goes insane in Chicago.
Yes.
So I just was ignoring my watch for a good chunk of the race, because at that point I was like, just focus on having fun. Don't worry how long it's going to take you. But for the first couple of miles, I was like, try to go slower than you even feel like you're already going slow. But of course, I ignored my own advice for the first mile, but got out there. The under tunnel disco was super cool.
So fun.
Thing for this year, but I love that, because I've done under whacker, lower whacker for a lot of other races in Chicago, and usually I dread it. But as soon as we got in there, we saw the lights and the music, I was like, oh, this is actually awesome.
It was so fun.
So got to downtown, running through the loop, seeing the Chicago Theater, like everything was just amount of energy that I just felt so much gratitude. I actually cried going over the bridge, because I was like, I can't believe I'm here. Like just having that moment to really let it all sink in, even though like there's so many crowds and so many people and all these things going on, I was just like, man, I can't believe I'm actually here and doing this after essentially a year of training. Yeah. So really, the first couple of miles was just really soaking it all in. Then you get to Lakeshore Drive, and miles 6 to 7 were my least favorite miles. I know everyone says it's like miles 22 through 24 where you see the out and back. For me, it was miles 6 to 7 being on Lakeshore Drive, because that was full sun. And that just killed me right at the beginning. And I was like, man, I cannot be this hot this fast and be so drained out. How the heck am I going to finish this half marathon, let alone a full marathon? But
yeah,
try to eradicate any of those feelings. Just kept saying, just keep going forward. Just keep sticking to your intervals and you'll figure it out. I'm like, okay. So anytime I saw someone with like a champagne bucket, they're like, oh, do you want champagne? I'm like, no, I want the ice from that champagne bucket. Cool myself. Smart. In any way to be able to make sure that I can keep going. Anytime anyone offer me alcohol, I'm like, I appreciate you, but no.
I'll take the ice. Yeah.
Just ice, just water. I'm like, I'm just making you make sure I stay cool. So it was funny because throughout my whole training cycle, I was avoiding like drenching myself in water because I was so worried about chafing. Mm. It was totally opposite on race day. I was like, cool me down as much as humanly possible because I've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
And thankfully it worked out. So as I continued forward, get to Old Town, and at mile 9, I saw Governor J.B. Pritzker on the course. And I was like, what? Like, what in the world that I'm going to be able to see my state governor on the sidelines cheering me on? Like, that was
so cool.
And that's the thing I also like appreciated throughout this experience was like, there were so many unreal moments throughout the entire race that I was like, I'm never going to have this experience again. So it was like seeing the governor. And then at mile 22, I saw Coach Bennett. Like,
yeah.
Just wild. And so I was like, okay. I'm at mile 9, let me just keep going. I can get to the half marathon. I've done this before. I'll do it again. And so those miles, it was like, okay, just keep trucking forward. Get to mile 13.1. I'm like, okay, got this first half marathon done. Have another half marathon to go and let's just keep going forward. So from there, I knew that I had a lot of coworkers that kind of planted themselves throughout. I had some training friends who ended up like going throughout. And then of course I had the family like later in the race. So a lot of my focus was just keep going, do what you need to do to finish, and don't worry about the time. So at that point, like my watch, I basically just ignored at that whole time. I was just like looking for mile markers to make sure that I was continuing forward. And I was just thinking about the neighborhoods that I was going to explore. I was like, how do I flip this into, I need to complete 26.2 miles to, I'm having this super cool experience and I've seen the race course and I know like what areas of Chicago I'm going to explore. And just basically being a tourist in my own city. Like that was the way I was able to kind of flip the experience for myself. Cause I'm like, when the heck am I ever going to do this again?
Yeah.
So I was able to start thinking about, okay, when I get to Greektown, when I get to Little Village, and just being able to think about the different areas that I was going to and seeing the different spectators and the cheer courses and just the energy. I mean, there was just so much energy on that course and being able to embrace it, but doing it in a way that's just memorable and creating memories. I was creating memories throughout the entire time. I mean, that is something that I'll never forget. It was so special. And I think even with the pain, it was worth it. And that's what everyone says, like, I'm never going to do this again. It's like, you're probably going to do it again. Cause just catching that feeling is like lightning in a bottle. Like you're never going to get it again. So for the second half marathon, it was really just focusing on the unknowns and just seeing like where the wind's going to take you. I will say when I got to mile, I want to say, so 18 and a half was when I was like, okay, I've done this distance and now I'm going into completely uncharted territory. Yeah. Let's just see where this goes. I ended up hitting, I'm not going to say a wall, I hit a problem, and it was at mile 21 to 22, my calf just started spazzing. And I was like,
the worst feeling.
Like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
And that's when you start seeing people like not being well. And it kind of freaks you out because you're like, people are falling, people are hurting themselves, people are passing out. And I'm like, I just don't want to do that. So I was like, okay, if this is the issue I'm having, I'm just going to start power walking and see where I get from there. So basically, I was like running when I could, but then just focusing on trucking forward for the rest of that marathon. Cause I was like, I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish feeling well. And if it takes me longer, it is what it is. This is my first thing marathon. And I put no pressure for myself other than finish the dang thing and have fun. So if I can continue doing those two things, then that's all that matters. So, and then I had my husband texting me going, hey, like you're doing this incredible thing. Hey, like your family's right there. Like, just keep going forward. And I'm like, I hate this. I never want to do this again. I don't know why I'm doing this. This is hard.
Yes.
And it's true. Like, it is hard. It's an incredible feat that only 1% of the world ever does. And I was like, I am doing it. And so I'm just going to keep going forward. And when I turned into South Loop, which I guess was mile 24 to 25, and I was like, all right, this is my neighborhood. Like, I have been here. I have ran through here many, many times before. This is the final stretch and you just got to get the dang thing done. And so I saw my trainer from my strength training.
Cool.
Saw some coworkers. I saw family. I saw just different landmarks and places that I have been so familiar with in living in Chicago now for 10 years and just being like, you know what? This is home. Like this is my home race and I'm going to get this done. And that was the momentum that just kept pushing me forward, because my calf definitely sucked at that point. But I was like, all right, you can do this for like 1.2 miles at this point. You've done this so many dang times before. You just got to get it done. And then turning up that corner up to Mount Roosevelt, which everyone always complains about, but I did a lot of dang runs on Mount Roosevelt. I was able to have that momentum of like, okay, I've got this last bit of gas in the tank. I've got to put everything out there to be able to get this done. So was able to get up Mount Roosevelt, turned over and saw that finish line. And that was like just such an electric moment for me where I'm like, wow, it's here. I'm almost there. And I was able to book it down, got to the finish line. And I was just in such a state of shock at that point where I'm like, I can't believe I freaking did that. I cannot believe that I just finished 26.2 miles and I just broke down. I mean, I just had every single feeling come rushing toward me. Like the experience that I just had, the memories I just created, the 19 weeks of consistent training for marathon, but also the year of training that I had, everything just crashed into that moment. And I can't explain just how special that feeling is. And I know for anyone who's finished their first marathon, they have that moment of realization that it's done. You did that dang thing. And being able to just relish in that moment, getting that medal around your neck and just going, I'm done. And then I was able to like shuffle myself forward a little bit. Obviously,
the long shoot.
That dang beer right after the race. And I was able to get my Chicago Distance Series medal too. So not only one medal, but two.
Very cool.
Looking at both of them and going, this is a year's worth of work that has been completed. And I am so dang proud of myself for the person that I've become. I mean, that's the thing. The person you start out with signing up for that race is not the same person coming out of that race. Right. And I just implore anyone who has any kind of curiosity or desire to go for a distance, whether that's a 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, if you have the curiosity, it's worth trying because
absolutely
nothing to lose and no one's telling you you have to do it. And that's the thing, like by going out and chasing dreams that feel bigger than you ever could imagine, the reward is just so dang gratifying. And quite frankly, having a failure throughout that process and being like, I didn't make that happen, or I had to drop out of it, or I had to stop. That's okay, because those are where the lessons are truly learned to be able to get to that final goal. So
absolutely.
That was another thing I reassured myself too. I'm like, no one's going to be mad at me if I don't finish this race. Like if for whatever reason, it doesn't end up being my day, that's okay too. And I think that we put so much pressure on like, it has to be now, it has to be this thing. And it's like,
right.
It can be done in so many different ways. And if it's not that day, then that builds the fire for the next time that you're going out and doing it. So I think that not one person's experience is going to define what your experience is going to be like, but you can be inspired and be able to think through like, how many different ways can you splice and dice this to get this done? And it gets me so excited because I'm like, I don't know what's next for me, but what I really want to do is just focus on, how do I just maintain this routine of running and enjoying it so that I can chase another crazy challenge?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. It sounds like that this was a all in all, a very good experience for you. And that's all we can hope for a first marathon experience is that everything goes to plan. So I love it. And I guess I have two questions. We'll talk a little bit about like what's coming up next, but before we get there, I always love to ask for a piece of advice after you ran your first marathon for somebody who's thinking about starting their journey or running their first marathon. I know you just kind of gave us some advice, but if you could wrap it all up into, you know, something for that one person, what do you think you'd say?
I mean, anybody at any pace can go the distance. I think that's my bottom line up front. I think that we put a lot of obstacles and challenges in front of ourselves, a lot of excuses, quite frankly, to say, I can't do this. I'll never see myself doing this. Guys, if 13-year-old Ariel could look at 33-year-old Ariel and be like, we ran a freaking marathon, like, I wouldn't have believed you. And I know even my own mother wouldn't have bet money that I would have been signing up for a freaking marathon and empowered to be doing it. And it's just because we had previous versions of ourselves. And that's the thing. Like, we all go through seasons of change. And I think that feeling the motivation to redefining your narrative is something that all of us could be doing. And it's scary and it's uncomfortable, But once you break through this notion that you can't and just go to I can, it changes the game. And so I think that if anyone gains anything from this, it's that you can redefine your narrative at any point in your life. It's just a matter of taking the time and the investment and prioritizing yourself to be able to get there and doing, getting creative with it. I mean, I know people have families. I have my dog, like I have a husband, I have family, but I think there are creative ways of being able to restructure your life and be able to prioritize certain things to be able to make a challenge like this happen. And of course, I am grateful for the support I've had along the way, but I also really did prioritize myself. And I think that not enough of us do that. And so I can understand how it's like, well, I could never see myself doing it. And it's like, you can. You just have to make the hard decisions of what you're going to let go and where you're going to invest your time and energy.
Love it. I love it. That's awesome. Okay, cool. Well, let's wrap up with some fun questions and we'll talk a little bit about where your head's at, about what's coming up next and everything. But we always, like, I always give the disclaimer before we talk about fuel and shoes that this is your own journey. So try everything and anything with fuel. Same thing with shoes. Go to your local Fleet Feet or your local running store and get your feet measured. Find out what's best for you. But for you, what have you liked for fuel over time?
Oh man, I love Goo Energy Gels. Those are my go-tos. I know some people love them, some people hate them, but for me, I love the espresso, the caramel macchiato, and the salted caramel. I basically put those three on repeat. And then during marathon training, I found Scratch Energy Chews. There's a green tea lemon version that I love. And it's nice because the flavor profile is so different from the foods. And then adding Nerds gummy clusters in the middle of it, like, it just adds fun and it's just texture and different. So those are kind of like my fueling regimens. And then I also do the Scratch hydration mix in my water bottle as well. So adding those different liquid carbs just to make sure I'm keeping fuel throughout the entire time. So that was my regimen. And then you said shoes, right?
Yeah, shoes. Yeah. What have you liked for shoes?
Okay. So for shoes, I do have a shoe rotation. I'll be totally transparent that I was gifted some of these shoes, but then I ended up buying them myself because I actually love them.
Yeah.
I end up running in the Brooks Glycerin Max as my marathon shoe and my long run shoe. I had the Brooks Glycerin 21s for my easy run shoe. And then I also had an ASICS. I think it was the Noosa Tri. Oh my gosh, it's been so long since I look at like the brand of those shoes, but speed work. And then I also had On Clouds for like just my walking, like cross training type of shoe.
Awesome. Love it. Very cool. Well, let's talk about what's coming up next. So we just ran the Chicago Marathon, like, oh gosh, I guess a little over a month ago at this point. Have you started thinking about what running looks like for you moving forward?
So I know everyone loves just diving into the next race and having the next big banner moment and huge announcement that I'm going to be running XYZ. And I told myself that I really want to stop putting pressure. And it's been a year of consistent training between the full distance series scenario. So I was like, all right, I'm going to pause and recover and just focus on maintaining my routine throughout the winter. So I did join my Winter Warriors group in Chicago Endurance Sports, and I'm running with my friends, building towards a half marathon. Will I do a half marathon? I actually don't know. I thought about even just signing up for a 10K instead of a half marathon, just to focus on shorter distance for a little bit. So that way I'm not just like diving right into the next thing, but I certainly can never say never when it comes to running another marathon, because man, that was such a cool experience.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's very cool. I think that, when you're, I always like to say, like, don't rush back into running until you miss it a little bit, you know, or the same thing goes for racing, until you get that itch that you want to do it. That's going to carry you so much more than forcing yourself into a training block before you want it. So I think that's great that you're taking some time. Well, thank you so much for coming on and telling your story. It was really, really fun getting to know, you're the beginning of your running journey. I know you've documented a lot online, but I think we had a lot of nice tips and tricks and advice throughout this episode. So just thank you so much for coming on the show. And if anyone wants to follow along with you, where can they find you?
All right. So I am posting my running journey on TikTok and Instagram at @ArielGreenstein_. And that's where I'll keep showing what's happening next. But Taylor, thank you so much for having me. I've been such a longtime fan and so glad to be part of the story now.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This was awesome. Appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives.
You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at My First Marathon Pod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at Tay.Says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.